We'll hear from Kevin Durant from his podcast appearance with LeBron James and Steve Nash and how that applies to his new team, the Houston Rockets. I'm Luke Morrow in for Reggie here on In the Loop alongside John Lopez and Figgy Fig, and you as well. On the text line, we talked. Our question of the day earlier was the worst nickname. And Figgy, the 936 texted and said, hey, just like you, their mom calls them Bootman as well, still does to this day, and they have absolutely no idea why.
Yeah. It had nothing to do with boots. Because people used to always try to say, oh, did you used to wear boots all the time? No. I was like 3 months or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I was fresh out the womb, man. So I don't understand where that came from either.
Came out in some fresh Timberlands.
Yeah.
Butters. 713-572-4610 to text the show. Before we get to Durant, I have a question of the day. Mm-hmm. There was some cupcakes in the break room there.
I saw those.
What is your, because those were there like before I think we even came on air. Do you have a time in the day, like how early in the day are you willing to have sweets? Can you have sweets for breakfast?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you'd have a cupcake for breakfast?
Well, a lot of times I'll have pan dulce, you know, with coffee and something. Oh, for sure. 100%. Yeah.
I could do it here.
Yeah. Some people do cinnamon rolls for breakfast. I'm not a big.
That's true. Yeah. I was thinking, yeah, that's true. That's fair. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking more like a cookie or the non-traditional like breakfast items.
A cupcake for breakfast? Yeah. I don't know.
A brownie, a cupcake, a cookie. Is there a certain time in the day you got to wait to?
Yeah, I did it. I did it here, and I usually don't do that. Like if it was at home, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But here, they brought them on out. I'm like, screw it.
How long do they have to be out before you say no go?
Long time for me.
Yeah, it depends. If it's pretty much covered the right way, then it could last a little bit.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I've rolled in here for the night show and don't have no idea how long that stuff's been sitting. I don't care. I'm digging in. I'll take my chances.
Yeah.
That's what the second host is for, in case I got to run to the bathroom.
We got to get to Kevin Durant here, but we had a beautiful, awesome cake when we were in the Hill Country on Saturday. Mm. And I've been giving my daughter a hard time. About I want a piece of cake. She brought it home in her car. I want a piece of cake. It was so good. I want a piece of that cake. So she brought it this morning. That's still good, right? From Saturday?
Yeah, that should be good. Yeah.
I would have no problem eating it. My only concern is sometimes the cake, it really hardens up.
Yeah.
That's the only problem. But no, I would still eat it.
Yeah, if it's covered up.
It was delicious.
If she covered it up the right way, then good. But some people...
I mean, I'm going to eat it anyway. I'm just curious if I'm breaking any rules.
No, some people just have a cake on the plate and just with the aluminum foil, bury it, covering it.
It's all crispy.
That's when it gets all hard and stuff. That's when you throw it out.
I mean, yeah.
Honestly, my rule, and it's not a good rule for most things, I give everything like a week. Leftovers or whatever, I'll eat it for a week. My girlfriend she can't believe it. She doesn't do that. But yeah, I give everything a week. So the cake,
speaking of nicknames,
give it a week.
Speaking of nicknames, my wife, this is just her nickname. One of them, she calls me Iron Gut.
Oh, there you go.
Because I'll eat leftovers a week, 10 days later.
Oh, 10 days. Pushing it. That's pushing it for me. I give it 7.
She calls me Iron Gut.
That's a great quality to have, though.
Yeah.
I think that's a great nickname. Let's get to Kevin Durant. He spoke with LeBron and Steve Nash on this podcast. I think it's called Mind the Game. By the way, I don't know if you guys saw. It is crazy. We watch these guys play and everything, and you forget how big they are. I saw the photo of the three of them stand. Durant is like towering over LeBron.
Yeah he's like 7'3".
I know. Why. He makes LeBron look small. I'm like, oh my God.
And
gosh.
He's going around talking about he's 6'9".
He's 6'9", Figgy.
Man, get the hell out of here, man. You are a liar.
Yes.
It's two liars on this podcast. LeBron and Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
That's right. If you haven't seen the photo, go find it on Twitter. He makes LeBron look like Steve Nash. Mm-hmm. But we have a few different clips that I pulled some stuff that I thought was interesting from Durant. Figgy, let's just go in order. We'll start with the first one where he talks about the mid-range. See, this is interesting. I wanted to get to this because during the NBA Finals, I brought up that I think the Thunder and the Pacers even were kind of zigging when everyone was zagging. We're all about threes and layups. The Thunder actually do shoot a lot of mid-range shots. Durant shoots a lot of mid-range. Here was the conversation Nash, LeBron, and Durant were having about still the importance of the mid-range game in today's NBA.
The mid-range has never been more important. It's just... It has to come from the right dudes.
Right? Exactly.
Like the court is spaced now by the role players.
Exactly.
What do you think they're trying to take away? Trees or lamps. So the star has to be able to make mid-range shots, or else the team's not going to be able to score in a playoff situation. They have to be able to loosen the defense, takes with there. So I think the analytics community would agree with that, too.
Yeah,
they would. It's really just we don't want players X, Y, and Z taking a bunch of mid-range.
Because the mid-range, I believe, is if you can't find a good shot, we should look for the good shots early, mm-hmm. the threes. Mm-hmm.
Attack the paint.
Attack the paint. Try to get layups, try to get threes. But when it's 5 to 6 seconds on the clock, get a ball to the best player. Mm-hmm. And if he shoot a mid-range at that point, mm-hmm. then he shoot a mid-range. But we're not going to waste the clock trying to look for a 3, 2 seconds on the clock, and we're giving it to no
Why
disrespect.
Are you pointing at me?
Dorian Finney-Smith with 2 seconds on the clock to make a three. That's not what we – or Royce O'Neal. Yeah. That's not – I mean, they can hit it for sure. But that's not sustainable offense for us going forward.
So another thing, what you're also saying is, like, you pass up a good mid-range shot to get a worse shot.
Exactly.
Right? So there's a balance there to be
I love those old souls, man.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. Now, but I thought the way he framed it was really good. You're not going to go back to, you know, posting up or a little, you know, 10-footer bank shot, you know, all that stuff as a regular diet. But to sort of exploit the offense and make that offense better, you can do it, and you should do it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think that's what the Thunder did really well. Is all the you concentrate so much on the threes, and they said it in that clip. Like, what do you think defenses are trying to take away now? So now there's that vulnerable area in the mid-range, and Durant is really good in the mid-range. So if you're a Rockets fan, you know, expect to see some of that come to the offense this mm-hmm. year, where it's not just all like a lot of the league with the analytics, threes and layups. I mean, Durant is a three-tier scorer. He'll provide some more versatility. The other thing I like about that clip, too, is that was actually before Dorian Finney-Smith signed with the Rockets, and Durant mentions him as the guy. So I don't know if he was actually taking a shot at him or if that was just the name on his head, because maybe he was like having conversations with the Rockets like, hey, here's a guy I like, Dorian Finney-Smith. We should try to sign him. But it's just funny. That's the name he referenced. And then this interview was recorded beforehand, and then shortly afterwards, oh, look at that. He's going to be Durant's teammate.
I thought it was more like, obviously, Finney-Smith is a good player, but he's not Kevin Durant. And, mm-hmm. and their point was, why try to take a late in the shot clock three when you have him right there, you know, to be able to make a mid-range?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I like the idea from Durant because, as I said, you should not ignore the mid-range. And as like they pointed out, why take a lesser shot, a three, when you can get a foul-line jumper? Or it's a higher percentage shot, even if it's 2 versus 3.
Mike D'Antoni punching the air right now.
Yeah, he is.
A lot of people are in modern basketball. Speaking of scoring, Kevin Durant said getting 30 points is now a lot easier today than it was, which bodes well because a concern for Rockets fans is, Durant's 37. Well, maybe it's easier to score now than ever before for Durant. Here's what he had to say.
It definitely, man, it was. I mean, you got 2 dudes at the block.
Bunch of power forwards in the league.
Most of the time, the whole league wanted floppy. That's the go-to set.
Right.
So we got 4 guys or 8 guys inside the 3-point line.
Right in front of the basket.
And all they do was lift upper body. Up top, not a game. They weren't working on their legs back then, man.
So it's all just pushing and shoving.
Pushing and shoving, bro. It's all strong, man. Like Gold's Gym.
Gold's Gym.
I think it was also a Tracy McGrady. Was he the one that said like he could score whatever it was, a ton of points today?
Average 40
today, yeah. Compared to when he was playing. What do you think it's easier nowadays to score? Do you think offense has become easier than it used to be in the NBA?
It depends, and I don't mean to cop out on the type of defense that you're facing and how they're dealing with a Kevin Durant. You know, like the first clip, you know, with the 3-pointers and the extended offense, he's going to eat, you know. But there are also going to be teams that are going to be able to try to take him off and push him off his spots, et cetera. I think what he's really getting at there, it's easier to score against all these big dudes that are out there. He's a finesse player. He's a jump shooter. He can get his shot off, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think so. It's, there's just some big brutes inside. Maybe not as
It's fluid.
That's a good phrase. That's a good term for it. Mm-hmm. So I think, but it bodes well for, like I said before, to set up that clip. Those that are concerned, Durant's getting older. Well, he's making the case like, it's easier to score now than even when I first got into the league. Mm-hmm. So that could help out. This next clip I also liked because we talked about this yesterday. It's been my concern with the Rockets about needing more at the guard position. I love their size. I love the length they have. but is it almost too much? Are we ignoring the guards? Here is Durant talking about small guards in the modern NBA and how it's kind of hard to have a role for those small guards. This is what Durant said.
Do you think the profile of players changed? Like, I've been thinking, yes. I'm like, I don't know if the 6'2 and under guard is at a premium no more as a starter. Maybe as a backup, but you have to be.
We just talked about this the last night. It's gotten compressed.
It has.
Right? It's compressed. It has. It's at like either Donovan Mitchell, Drew Holiday, 6'3 or 6'4 Lou Dort, or it's not. You got to be.
You can't get picked on defense. That's the thing, because we play such the pick on game that they will really literally, if you can't guard, they will bring you up every single time.
Yeah.
And every 6 foot, 6'1, and you're not a bulldog like a Davion Mitchell, Drew Holidays.
Mm-hmm.
On the defensive side, or you're not an offensive flat out savant like Kyrie, where you can score on dudes 7 feet easily and ISO, then I just can't see it.
I mean, I think he's right. I think he's absolutely right on that. I mean, that's one of the things about the NBA game today that a lot of people don't like, that it's so many ISOs, so much picking on one guy. Oh, he's going to, you know, that guy is food. You know, people use that term all the time. That's good, you know, offensively. But it kind of changes the flow of the game, too.
Yeah. I saw a great clip on that subject from Cuttino Mobley talking about him and Steve Francis when they were here in Houston. Mm-hmm. And Rudy T, and they just had an offense called, like, shake one or shake two. And it was give the ball to one or two of them, and he'd say one or two, and that's how many shakes he'd try to get. It was just one-on-one.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was a really interesting clip from Mobley talking about the offense 25 years ago here in Houston and how it was like a street ball. But it's a fair point from Durant, and then I think it speaks to what the Rockets are trying to do, where, I mean, they just have so much size and length now, and you're going to have four guys on the floor that are all like 6'7 and bigger, and that's just the way, you know, obviously 35 years ago it was crazy to think Magic Johnson could be a point guard. He's too big, and now it's you need all size on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
These smaller guys have been phased out. Let's try to get through these last two pretty quick so we could get to our confessions, but Durant talking about why he was able to play so well offensively with the Warriors. The reason why I picked this, I think it's interesting because similar with the Rockets, people think Durant's going to come here. He's going to be that ball hog. But as you hear from Durant here, he likes playing off of teammates, and he's going to still want to be in a system here in Houston instead of just being the guy. Here was Durant talking about his time in Golden State.
It was easy for me to come off a pin down. It's hard for me to have to dribble through three or four guys and pull up over two dudes with a fadeaway. Like I want, like you said, we want to be efficient. Mm-hmm. Playing off your team, man, that's the easiest way to be efficient. I was getting more backdoor cuts, more transition layups on top of the ISOs, on top of the catch and shoot three. So my game was way more well-rounded in scoring, and it was easier, and I'm way more efficient that way. But I always knew how to play with my teammates, play off my teammates, and the art of scoring is getting the easy points. I always knew that, especially in transition.
I mean, you could hear it in his voice. I think that's what he wants. He wants to be able. Mm-hmm. Why go through all that? You know, why have to get the ball ISO? Everybody coming off of their guys to double team you, having to read it, having to muscle through, et cetera, rather than just a back cut and you're open, you catch the ball and shoot.
It kind of makes sense why he actually went to Golden State too.
Yeah,
and why he's trying these different squads. Mm-hmm. He's not trying to carry a whole team.
Exactly.
Like that.
Right. Work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
But there is that perception of like, oh, Durant's in Houston. It's his team. It's just going to be him. Yeah, right. He's going to be the guy at the end of the game, but he is going to fit into this offense and this system.
Yeah,
I think that's good to hear for a Rockets fan. Last clip, and maybe this is the most important for the Rockets fans. Here's Durant praising Ime Udoka as a defensive head coach. And again, this was recorded before he technically was a Houston Rocket. Here's what Durant said about his new head coach.
I even love that you can throw zones in there. We can mixing up defense.
That's an evolution, I think, in the last 6 months even.
Mm-hmm. That's like, when we play Houston, like Ime Udoka does a good job of that. He will go one possession regular man, next possession zone, go back to man, the next three possession zone, all in the first quarter.
Throwing you off balance.
In the first quarter. And it's like, okay, how good you are as a team, how connected you are as a group, how well you pass, guys are unselfish. If a coach does that and you're not prepared for it,
you're all off balance.
You're all off balance.
You got no rhythm.
I mean, that's the other side of the ball, and that's what he has that experience. And plus, he's got that great relationship with Ime anyway.
Yeah, it's a big reason why he wanted to be here and why he wound up here. But before he was even a Rocket, he was praising his now head coach and this Rockets team. You can go find the podcast. There's two episodes. It's a really long conversation, but it's an interesting conversation between LeBron, Steve Nash, and Kevin Durant. I think it's Mind the Game is the name of the podcast. But those are some of the clips that stood out from Durant's conversation. Hey, when we come back, it's that time. We got to get to our lunchtime confessions, and we'll do it next here on In the Loop.